Y'all pray. We won't be too long, but if y'all pray, God will just have his way. God will just have his way. God would just have his way. Just have his way. We only got one verse this morning, one verse that we're going to center on, and it's in the book of 2 Peter. One verse, and it's on the screen. I'm going to read two different versions of it, but still the same verse. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. 2 Peter 1, verse 8. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it reads, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I got to read that. That's the King James Version. I'm going to read that again. If these things be in you and abound, in other words, they got priority, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the King James Version. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you grow, that it abounds, the more you grow like this, like what? In these things, the more productive, and you hear me now, he said what? The more productive, that means the more you can accomplish, and useful, that you will be what? In your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the word says. That's just what the word says there in 2 Peter. He said, there's some things you need to understand. There's some things you need to know. There's some things you need to do. And if you grow in them, you're going to be more productive and more useful. I don't care what you think in your mind, but if you study this thing about Jesus Christ, if you let this thing called Jesus Christ abound in you and live in you, you're going to be more productive. Somebody Amen. Say, I'm going to be more productive.
I'm going to be more productive.
Somebody shake the cobwebs. I need to hear everybody on here. If you know Jesus, you need to say, I'm going to be more productive.
I'm going to be more productive.
Somebody ain't saying nothing, y'all. Somebody, I can't let it go. You need to say this for yourself. I am going to be more productive.
I am going to be more productive.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't have Amen. Jesus come to your house. Don't have Jesus knock on your door and say, why aren't you doing what you should be doing? I beg you, I plead with you, I exhort you. You don't want to have that conversation with Jesus. That's not the pleasant conversation. It's better to say, I'm going to do it, and then let God do it, than to not say it, and then God make you say it. Because if God is in you, I guarantee you one thing, he gonna make you do it. He gonna make you do it. So what are we saying? We gotta learn to living beyond the habits.
My God.
Living beyond the habits. Living beyond the habits. Somebody just say amen if you know you have some habits.
My God.
Amen. 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 We have some habits, y'all. We've learned some habits. I'm not going to ask you about your habits right now. That's between you and God and what you do. But we all have some habits. And I will declare today that many of those habits, or most of those habits, were intentional. Some of those habits we have learned in our life were intentional for our survival. Let me make that plain before I get to even what a habit is. You've learned how to eat. That's a habit, y'all. We learn how to eat. What? That habit of eating is part of our survival. You have a habit, y'all. You drink some water or some tea or some coffee or some soda or for whatever drink you drink, but you got to drink it. And one of those things has to be water. Why? Because the water helps us survive. That's a habit, y'all.
My God.
If we were to put a camera in your room when you sleep at night, you have some sleeping habits. And some of us, our habits are different. So I'm not putting a camera in your room, but God knows your habits. Yeah. So we all have these habits. If you work a job, they have taught you a habit of how that specific job does certain things. Now, they might not call it a habit. They might call it a best practice, but it's a habit. This is the way you're going to do that thing. That's what they say. Well, I don't want you to believe me. What is a habit? What is a habit? Well, a habit is so a settled tendency or usual manner of behavior. That's the way I do it. It says what? It's an acquired mode of behavior that has become what? It has become what? Nearly or completely involuntarily. That's just the way you do it. Oh, okay. Let me make that plain. If you go out in your backyard or you're out in the park and a fly buzzes you, your habit says you're going to swing at it with your right hand or your left hand based on your habit. I happen to be a right-hand swinger. So if a fly or a bee buzz by me, I swing with my right hand. You don't have to believe me. I got to the church this morning. And when I open up the mailbox to get the mail out of the mailbox, I realized that they're building a beehive in the mailbox. And the bee, the yellow jacket, came out. And I swiped at it with my right hand and shut it up after I took the mail to get away. So, Sister Beverly, if you listen, yeah, we got a beehive in the mailbox. We need to get it taken care of. Somebody on the street, I swipe with my right hand. Right. I drop the backpack and swipe because I'm a right-hand swiper. You might be a left hand. You might be doing one of both hands, but that's the involuntary completion of how I act on those things. Now, so just so that you understand, I love synonyms because a word might get a synonym. What is a habit? It's a custom. It's a practice. It's a ritual. And some folks even call it second nature. Oh, y'all got any second nature behavior out there? Don't tell me what they are. You might get yourself in trouble. Might get me. I'm just teasing, y'all. I'm just teasing. I want to have some fun with this. I just love what God tells us and how God loves us so much. And I can declare to you today that when we finish with this, you're going to see how awesome God is and the habits that he's given you and the habits of what God does in the midst of our struggles and how he operates. Amen. Somebody say amen in a bit. You amen. Know there's something good coming. God's going to show me about my habits and God's going to teach me how to live beyond my habits.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's the first thing? Habits. Habits are not a bad thing. Habits actually a good thing. Habits help us grow. You don't have to believe me. Look at before we get to verse 8, look at verses 3 through 7. According to the word of God here in 2 Peter, Peter says to them, according as his divine power have given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through knowledge of him that have what? Called us to glory through his knowledge and his glory and his virtue. He says, what? Verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. These promises represent habits, that these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, this habit of God having escaped the corruption that is in the world of lust. He said, I don't want you to run after the things of the world, the things that you lust after, that you desire, but I'm giving you some things that are habits that are going to help you grow. I'm giving you these things so that you can be what? Partakers of the divine nature. Uh-oh, there's a benefit even before he gives them to. He said, if you take on these habits, if you take on this knowledge, it's going to benefit you beyond your humanness. It's going to help you live like the divine nature that he is, that God is. So what did he say they are? He said, and beside this, he said what? Giving all diligence, add to your faith. Your faith means that what? You believe in Jesus, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, I come to tell you, those are habits, y'all. Those are knowledge. That's the knowledge of God. That's the character of God. He says, I'm giving it to you in a divine nature for you to make it a habit. Oh, wait a minute. It's second nature, right? God's going to tell us this more than second nature, but it's a habit. I want you to do this over and over and over. You got faith. You accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now you've got faith. That means you believe in him. You believe he died, he was buried, he rose. And guess what? That he's coming back. That's the rest of the story to get you. You've got faith. Now, to faith, you got to make that faith grow. You understand how Abraham was. Abraham had faith, and Abraham went through some things, some tests of his faith to understand what? To how good God was.
Yes.
All right.
So Peter says, add these things to it. And I'll just read the list again so that you, he said, what? Given all diligence, that means you can persevere. You're going to go through this. You're going to practice it day in and day out. He said, to your faith, virtue, that you live right, and to virtue, knowledge. You got to study to show yourself approved, a workman which need not be ashamed. What? So you can rightly divide. You got to read the Bible sometime. You got to read his word sometime. You got to study sometime. What? So that you can add to the knowledge that he's given to you. He said, to knowledge, what? Temperance. You got to be under control. Being under control is the habit. When you are a young child and you a baby, you don't want no control. So you just act up any old kind of way when you get ready until somebody shows you that you better be in control. Because if you're not in control, there's a consequence. But that concept does not change. When we get out of control as adults, God says there's a consequence. But we got to be in control according to how God wants us in control. Can't say anything we want to say. Can't do anything we want to do. So what? Well, you got to add this thing called temperance.
All right. Yes.
And to temperance, patience. These are habits. God say, you got to wait on Jesus. Wait on Jesus. Wait on Jesus. Wait on Jesus. You can't just be running out to do it all the time. You want to do it when you want to do it. We got to wait on Jesus because Jesus has what? Divine knowledge of timing.
Yes.
We get knowledge and don't know when to do. He said, what? You got to add these things. And as we grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, these habits become part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody know what I'm talking. Somebody know this word is talking to us. And to patience, what? Godliness, what? The habit of doing what God said. The habit of letting God be seen through you. The habit that when people around you see you, guess what? They know that's just what you're going to do because that's the habit that you've always had. Somebody ought to understand it. When I was asking God, I said, how do you know, God? How are we going to understand? God sent a word. Sister Roger and I, we got a trip planning. We're going not because we're going on vacation, not because we're going to enjoy ourselves, not because we won't rest from this weariness of this pandemic and be done. No, we're going to see about some people. We're going to see about our elders because they've been locked in. Now that we've vaccinated, we're going to do a quick drive-by, put a quick hug on Auntie who's 87 and Auntie who's 88 and Uncle who's 91 and Uncle who's 91 and we're going to do the circle 2,000 miles in 4 days. I ain't worried about what my back don't feel like. I ain't worried about anything else. I ain't getting on a plane. We're going to drive it because that's what. But then the other day when she was talking to her cousin say, that's just who you are. That's what y'all do. I ain't worried. So she saw that that's the habit that we have. And I said, thank you, Lord.
My God.
Thank
you. It ain't about us. It's about you. Says what? Yes. Temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness.
My God.
Oh, where are the bodies? Where's the body of Christ? Where are the saints of the Lord showing brotherly kindness? The world don't even see it. The world say, all y'all Christians fighting. All y'all Christians arguing. All y'all Christians fussing. All y'all Christians judging. Where's the brotherly kindness? Peter would be standing up. Peter would be declaring, sit your butt down and shut up and exercise patience because I want to see godliness. I want to see kindness. I want to see brothers get along. I'm sick to this mess because that don't represent God. Somebody hit me today. We got to have this brotherly kindness.
My God.
It's a brotherly kindness, charity.
Mm-hmm.
Some love. Somebody wrote a secular song. Where is the love? Where is the love? Jesus is asking us today, where is the love? Where is the love?
My Lord.
Where is the love? You don't have to stop there. You don't have to believe me. The word of God says, do this thing. Proverbs 22:6, you know it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Mm-hmm. And when he is old, he will not depart from this. This is not just talking about the little babies. That was the wisdom. But guess what? Paul said that we come to Christ as babies. So guess what? Yeah. We got to stop being babies because we got to get trained up so that we can be an adult in Christ. And it ain't about your worldly age. It ain't about your worldly figure, your worldly knowledge. knowledge. It's about the knowledge in Christ. He's Paul said, I wish I could talk to you not as babes that need milk, but that need food. Guess what, Destiny? We ain't on milk no more. So it's time out. I got to tell the truth. We've been trained up. We've been raised up. So these things that he talks about that should be in us, we need to let come out of us because of the love that's on the inside of us.
Yes, God. Yes.
Charity. We love our neighbors. We love our enemies. We love those who backstab against us. We love those who ridicule us. We love those who criticize us. We love those that run the other way when we come. We love those that lie to our faces. That's all right. You ain't lying to me. You lying to God.
Yeah, preacher.
But I'm still going to love you. Why? Because the Lamb was slain that you might have an understanding to know. To know. That's what he said. And then in Luke, said he spake a parable to this end, that men are always to pray and to faint not. And you know that fair parable is about what? The king that said he was bothered by this woman who kept coming to him over and over and over again, that I would do something for her, that finally he said, look, I'm going to do it just to get her out of my hair. How many people keep coming to you because they need peace? How many keep coming to you because they need some joy? How many keep coming to you because they trust that you know the Lord? How many keep coming to you because they want you to pray for them? How many keep coming to you because they're confused? How many keep coming to you because they're scared? Yeah. How many keep coming to you because they're in fear? How many keep coming to you because you declare that you love Jesus and they're trying to get to Jesus through you? But when they come to you, are you showing brotherly kindness? When they come to you, are you showing love? Are you, when they come to you, are you showing patience? Or are you getting a little weary and say, leave me alone? I'm going to lock myself up. I'm going to be in my own place and I want nothing to do with you because right now it's all about me. But I've come to tell you today that when Jesus is on the inside, Peter said, these things are bound in you. These things have got to come through in you. These things have got to come out of you because somebody is dependent on you. Somebody needs to know where they can go. Somebody needs to know that God is real. He's the only wise God. He's the only wise King. Somebody.
Yes.
Somebody. So these habits help us to grow. Let me give you an example. If you're working today on some job, they have taught you some habits. Some of y'all have read the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Highly Successful People. Y'all know the drill, right? Oh, y'all thought I wasn't going to read it. It says what? That you got to be productive. Did you see the first one? It said, the world man said, you got to be productive. You got to what? Begin with what? The end in mind. He said what? Put first things first. Think win-win. Stephen Covey, I get it. I read him. I live by him. But there were some things that Steve Covey didn't tell us. He said, seek first to understand and then to be understood. You got to synergize. You got to sharpen the saw. That's what Steve Covey said. But Steve Covey didn't tell you the one thing that goes beyond those things. Those are all good habits to be successful in the corporate world. But there's a habit that goes beyond the habits of living in the corporate world. And that's to love one another as I have loved you. And when you love somebody else, these habits take on a different information because some of these habits can still be self-centered.
My God.
Oh, let me give you an illustration. It's a little known thing that you all don't know about me, that I don't talk about, but I know I stand on the truth because I know what has happened. I worked for an organization for 16 years, and out of those 16 years, 12, I was a manager. Well, I still have the reputation in that organization, have promoted more people to management and upper management than anybody else that's come through that company. I don't talk about it. I don't brag about it. I just went about my business to create better lives for somebody else. And those people have risen to management and upper management and gone on the other. And somebody said, well, how did you do it? I said, I understood the effect of things, but the thing I told them about was the love of Christ and how God wanted you to be concerned about the people who work for you. And when you're concerned about the people who work for you and genuine in your interest, guess what? They would do anything that you wanted them to do. They would take on the habits. They would take on the things, and then they would do it because they care for somebody else and not because of what they were going to win.
Say it, preacher.
One of the gentlemen's name was Art Abraham. He said, Freddie, I've been here 40 years. That used to be my reputation. What is young man like you doing? Said, Art, I do what you do. You care about the people. because you care about the people. I just care a little bit more when I say so. That's just the younger generation. It ain't no different. But when you care about the people who work for you, that you're willing to invest in them to rise up, then guess what? That's what happens. Somebody ought to see this in a spiritual sense. We ought to care about everybody that we come in contact with. That's what Peter said in verses 3-7. Care about them. Brotherly kindness. Have patience. Have mercy. Have charity. And when we do those things, the people we encounter know that we love them.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
All right. Now I have to help us understand. Habits help us grow. So habits are not necessarily a bad thing. But unfortunately, the thing with habits is that's what we depend on. Some people, you know, y'all need to understand. I don't know if I'm on your street, but if I happen to step on your toe, just lift up and say, I've already stepped on mine. I can do my dance. Then finally I said, I ain't going to dance no more. I'm just going to set them on the ground. And Lord, where they have to hurt, let them hurt. Because after the hurt, you're going to heal it. So we got to learn to live beyond the habits.
Yeah.
So before I tell you what living beyond the habits are, we have some Christian habits that aren't of God. We go to church because it's the end thing to do. We say we love one another and turn around and walk out the door and ain't got no love for nobody. We got no patience for nobody. We got no tolerance for this thing that I've overcome that somebody else might have. We got no understanding of what sacrifice means. When it's your time to help somebody and be available, it don't matter that it ain't convenient for you. You got to get up and do it. You got to meet somebody where they are, because that's what transforms their lives, to understand
their habits have
to change a little bit so they can walk in the power and walk in the will that God has for them. Somebody understands what I'm talking about. So if we're going to live beyond the habits, let's acknowledge that I got some habits. We got habits with our music. I only want to sing a certain type of music. And if I don't hear a certain type of music, then I ain't going to go to that place. We got habits about the length of worship. Some people want 2 hours. Some people want 1 hour. Some people want 45 minutes. We got habits about what I see when I get there. I want to see a certain race. I want to see a certain denomination. I want to see. Those are habits. Those are not of God. And we need to understand these habits have caused us some problems. These habits have led us to be divided. Now, Jesus said, I come to seek and to save all. And when he said all, that's everybody, every individual, every hair color, every skin color, every person, every gender. He wants all, not somebody. That's a habit we need to let go. If you ain't me, I don't want to be.
My God. You
have to live beyond these habits. Some people got habits today. You know, I ain't going here. I ain't going there. I'm scared of this. We got a habit of fear in our lives. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Let it go. We got a habit of judgment in our lives. We need to let go of the judgment. We got habits like some of the prophets. Jeremiah said, look, I ain't going to tell you, because guess what? You're going to keep doing the same old thing. You ain't going to listen to me. So some of us got Jonah habits. I ain't going to Nineveh. I ain't going to Chicago. I ain't going to Elgin. I ain't going to Hanover Park. I ain't going to Barrington. I ain't going to St. Charles. I ain't going nowhere but right here. Those are habits, y'all, that we have created.
Jesus.
You don't have to believe me. Look at what it said now. The thing is, we're going to live beyond the habits. We're not going to let the habits stop us. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? Right there in verse 8. It said, look, it's right there in verse 8. For if these things be in you, talking about the previous things in the previous four verses, these things called what? These things called what? Diligence, faith, virtue, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. If these things be in you, for these things be you, and abound in what? They continue to grow. They make you that what? You should neither be barren nor unfruitful. Barren or unfruitful. Barren or unfruitful. Sometimes we need to take inventory. Is our life bearing fruit? Is our life being fruitful? Or do we have an empty tree? Do we have an empty garden? Your life should show that it's being something to somebody, and that somebody's life is better because you passed that way. So Jesus God, he said, if will my living be in vain? And don't say, if I can help somebody. As I travel through this way, then they end up saying, then my living will not be
in vain. My God.
You need to understand that was a habit that the old folks had, that I was going to do something for somebody to make a difference in their life. Is your life making a difference in somebody else's life? I challenge you all the time. I say, if you're not actively mentoring with somebody that's a girl, a woman, if you're a woman, or a guy if you're a man, or some couple, then you're not doing all that God would have you to do. There might be a period, a time that you have a respite to regather and to grow and to gain, but then if you're not... But that also goes fact, not just for outside these walls, but it goes fact for the truth of right here in Destiny. If we're not doing anything to help this ministry grow, then we're missing the mark of what God's got. We got to live beyond the habit of showing up, beyond the habit of singing and praising, and beyond the habit of going home and doing it for everybody else and not doing for right here.
Say it, preacher.
So if we don't believe that, look at James 4:10. The way we live beyond the habit is we humble yourself in the sight of God. And God, the King, the Holy Wise King, the only wise God, he will lift you up. Humble yourselves, but in the sight of the King, of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You can't do it by yourself. You can have every habit in the book, but even if you do every habit right, God is the one that gives the increase. God is the one that lifts you up. So the habit's got to be first. Surrender and submit to God. You don't believe me? Look at Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Why? I'm not afraid of the habits. I'm not afraid of what people say, because God is on my side. So who can be against me? You don't want to believe me? Let me give you an illustration of just how awesome the God is that you serve. When he went to Calvary, he was the lamb that was slain. But we also know God is what? The lion of the tribe of Judah. That means he will never be defeated. Somebody needs to understand what that means. I watched some Discovery Channel this week, and I watched on my phone over and over and over what the lion does and the tiger does when they attack their prey. And it was amazing to me just how awesome our God is, because he does the same thing for us. When the lion attacks its prey, they might start by knocking them down with their paws. They might start by hitting them on their back and trying to chew, but they can't get through the buffalo butts on the buffalo. But any of the enemy that they conquer, they eventually grab him with his mouth underneath their chin, and they just grab hold and don't let go. When they choke out what they say, they gain the victory. Number one, they can't breathe, so they're going to lose. But number two, they can't talk, so they can't call the help. So when they got him by the neck, the buffalo couldn't call the buffalo tribe. The elephant couldn't call the elephant tribe. The hyena couldn't call the hyena tribe to come to the rescue. That's who we got. That's who's in us. When God is for us, nobody, when we go with the enemy and the lion of the tribe of Judah, he can't call his henchmen, he can't call his help, because God, our Savior, God, the lion of the tribe, he shuts the enemy up, and the enemy got to flee. That's the power of living beyond the habits.
All right,
my God.
Say, look,
my Lord.
Pray,
yes.
Or do you pray in the spirit that knows that God has given you victory? So when you start praying, fear starts running. When you start praying, doubt starts running. When you start praying, your vision gets clear and the enemy will succumb at your feet, just like Jesus when he was tempted. That's the power of living beyond the habits.
Yes.
So this week, Destiny, when I was just resting with God and listening to God, and it's been a long, long, long week. I've been up early in the morning just listening to God, early in the morning having a little talk with Jesus. He said, make sure my people know that they got to live beyond the habits. And when they live beyond the habits, there is no defeat. When they live beyond the habits, there is victory. You don't have to believe me, but just look at what he said. He said, living beyond the habits. First, we know we must have faith. That's what Hebrews 11:6 said. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. You got to constantly seek God. You got to have faith. Say what? Seek the Lord and his strength continually. In 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Don't try to do this thing on your own from the beginning of time. He says, seek God and watch what I do. Seek my face. He's the only wise God. He's the only wise King. Thank you, Lord. God says, I love them. Seek me early in Proverbs. And Proverbs says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's a promise. God. Whatever time of day, whatever time of night, early also, whenever you need God, don't wait till you failed a few times. Get on to God first. When it first comes up, say, Lord, I need you. Okay, when it first comes up, I'm going to roar like the lion. Jesus! Jesus. And when you say Jesus, the enemy starts fleeing. When you say Jesus, the enemy starts gagging. When you say Jesus, the enemy can't breathe. So he gets out of your presence, but he can take a deep breath. But when you say Jesus, the enemy, you get to cough him up. I've seen it happen. Somebody who was full of the devil and full of the demon came to the altar and said Jesus, and then they fell on their floor. Some people thought they were drugged out. Some people thought they were drunk. But no, when they called on Jesus, the Lord emptied out that demon that was on the inside.
And thank
they
had you, to cough thank
it
you.
Up. And when they coughed it up, the demon started running, and he left all that right. place. That's who you
yes.
are. You got the victory of God, the victory of Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
All right. Yes.
Live beyond the heavens now. Live beyond the heavens. Amos said it. Amos said it this way. Always seek God. Always seek God. Not sometimes. Say, for this saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me and ye shall live. But if you seek these other things, if you seek Bethel and Gilgal, you will not pass the Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity. Then in verse 6, seek the Lord and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and divine. Seek God, seek God, seek Jesus, and you shall live. That's what he says. Yeah. That's what he says. That's what the word says. That's what we believe. That's what he said. St. James, James 4:8 says what? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't have habits that keep you away from God. Oh, so there's another habit. I get tired when I do this because I'm tired after doing this. Lord, I can't come see you. Did not you say, instead you ought to be saying, look, God, I know I'm a little worn out, but Father God, strengthen me in the name of Jesus that I could get to your place. Because one thing that's always been proven, if you get to God, if you get to the house of worship, if you get to your prayer, bitch, if you get to your prayer call, if you whatever, God gives you the strength that you need to get through the next situation. I'm a living witness. When you don't feel like you can go on, God pushes you a little further. But let me tell you, it ain't just a push, because he's also in the front and he's pulling. And when you see God leading and he's pulling you through, somebody said footprints, he carry you. God will do whatever he needs to do to get you to the appointed place, so he'll let you rest. Say, cast all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Lay your head in his bosom. What? That he will give you rest. Oh, that's the God that I know we serve. Then he says what? Seek the known God. The known God is Jesus. And in Acts, Paul went down there and he was going to these people of Athens. He said, wait a minute, y'all. This Mars Hill thing. He said, wait a minute. I saw a statue over there to the unknown God. He said, wait a minute. Y'all got this thing wrong. Too many people today are running around with an unknown God. And guess what? It's our responsibility to tell them about the only wise God, the only wise King, Jesus the Christ. That's what Paul said. I had to tell him. And I said, this one that I know about, he gave his blood for all nations, for all men to dwell upon the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed the bounds of their habitat. He said, I've made a place for you. I've made a way for you. You ought to come so that you can live beyond your habits.
Yes.
Living.
Yeah.
Living beyond your habits. I probably need to stop, but I just got one more thing and I'll finish the wreck. Listen. Say love, 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 love. This thing called love. This thing called love. This thing called love. Love has no visible habit. When you love Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ is the head of your life, the love that Christ has for you, your habit gets lost in the love. And all of a sudden, you do it unconsciously. You don't have to think about it. I tell you to ask yes or no all the time. But guess what? When you get to this thing that you surrender and you over the habit, you don't even have to ask yes or no. The thought automatically goes out. Whenever decision comes your way, yes or no goes before you, because God knows that's what you're going to do. And the answer's back before you even ask the question. Oh, somebody that's living beyond the habit, y'all. Somebody knows that you're going to do it no matter what, because this is what God has already told you to do. So people are going to see that. People are going to know that. And you're going to know it. And you're not going to be with. We got got to live beyond the habit, y'all. Live beyond the habit. Live beyond the habit. I'll finish the rest next week. I'm going to finish the rest next week. But then I got to tell you, there's a story. And there's a story in this song that says, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust the Lord. And as I play this song and I turn it down, I'm going to ask you if you will trust the Lord. And I'm going to ask Minister Lisa to lead us in prayer that we would get closer. We're not praying for needs today. We're just going to pray that we would get closer. We're going to pray that our habit, we live beyond the habits. So when we live beyond the habits, I'll tell you this, and then I'll let her pray, and you listen to how you will trust the Lord. This is the way we fight our battles. This is the way we fight our battles. Somebody keeps thinking it's because we're on our knees, but it's not just because we're on our knees. The reason we fight our battles this way is because we face God first, and when we seek God first, and his surrounding spirit overwhelms us, and his surrounding spirit surrounds us. And so he says in this song, it may look like I'm surrounded, but what? I'm surrounded by you. Why? Because when I come and give total praise and when I lift up my hands to you, the only thing that they can see is that you're surrounding me. So they can't see me in my weakness. They can't see me in my habit. They see the results of my habit and living beyond because they're going to see you. So a lot of times the enemy never even attacks. A lot of times the enemy runs. Why? Because he sees the lion of the tribe of Judah. He wants to come on our left. He sees the roar of the lion about to attack his mouth, and he runs to the right, and the roar of the lion about to bite his throat, and he shuts up and sleeps, and he sees him coming behind me. He said, turn around, but the lion of the tribe of Judah, he's got my back. So when you come that way, the lion in his roar that's going to bite the enemy, he's going to shut the devil up. The lion of the tribe of Judah will take away his voice. It will take away his speech. It will take him talking to you that he can't say nothing. So you just need to surrender and be surrounded by God. Worship him in his.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus.
Yes. My God.
Says I will.
My God. Yes.
The volume should be turned down. Minister Lisa, pray that we would surrender ourselves. Surrender ourselves.